Good evening. This is Ann Dell Banks, your host of Wish Upon a Star. If you are interested in listening to a broadcast that is entertaining and informative, then Wish Upon a Star is for you. Wish Upon a Star is a dynamic radio program spotlighting talent in the arts arena with great discussions of the challenges and advice in making it in the visual, musical, literary, painting, and performing arts. As a unique feature of the show, we interview professional guests in the fields of entertainment law, copywriting, legendary artisans, studio recording, publishing, promoters, and other topics in these creative and competitive fields. If you, or if you know of someone in the arts that would like to be a guest, please contact us via email. Email address, musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, musicradio34@gmail.com. It is said that everyone has a story in them. And if our guest today would begin to write her entire story, it would certainly be in encyclopedia volumes format. She is none other than Irene M. High, poet, author, actor, English teacher, writer, publisher of several poetic works, and a retiree. Ms. High completed courses in theater at Towson State University, an associate's degree, an ECE certificate from Baltimore Community College of Baltimore. She received her BS degree from Coppin State University, graduating summa cum laude, credits from the University of Baltimore, studies in editing, Final Cut Pro at University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Ms. High would take us as well on an enormous journey of a career in television, acting on stage, acting in TV, film and video, and movies, voiceover works, and interactive media. Ms. High's novel is just another one of her outstanding publications and achievements entitled Sisters, Carrie Lou and Me, now available on Amazon. Miss Irene High, welcome to Wish Upon a Star.
Thank you. Thank you. That was beautiful. I'm really feeling proud of myself.
And you should. Absolutely should. And like I said before, when I was these questions, our audience wants to know all about the wonderful thing. That, ladies and gentlemen, was just a little, you might say, mustard seed caption of all the things. So you would have to go to her website to get the full inflow of the magnificent life she has had so far. What I'm going to do now, Irene, is just make sure that our audience get as much of information from you as we possibly can, starting with the title of your book, Sisters, Carrie Lou and Me. Is this one of those stories, which is very interesting and provocative title? What exactly is the story behind the story?
Well, I said that was a great question. The story is because of family life. I just wanted to, actually it's about relationships. Doesn't matter if it's your family or whoever, but mostly from my point of view, it's family life because we write about what we know. So I'm writing about relationships within the family.
Oh, so I guess, okay.
Yeah, I would guess that to be the story behind the story, other than the fact that my favorite nephew was the one who decided that I should publish the story. I hadn't thought about publishing. I just liked to write, and I was writing. And he heard me reading what I wrote and asked me why didn't I get it published. And I told him, I just don't have the money for that. And so he gave me the money and told me to get it published. Three months after I published it, he passed away. So I suspect that's the real story behind the story.
Well, I can sympathize with you deeply, very, very deeply, because my son just passed away. And we worked on a project. This is amazing. I hope I don't break down. Oh, Lord.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
The last project that we worked on, I got the job. But it was the
All
last
right.
thing that he and I worked on. He said, well, you need to go sell this or give it to somebody because I retired, right? Just like you, I retired. Mm-hmm. And so I'm an artist, so I paint and draw and do things all the time. But he said, you ought to put that in a format and go sell it. And that's what I did, and I got the job, and I'm still there today. He just passed in May. And then, like I said, after I finished it, went to the interview, that was in, what was that, June? No, when I finished it in June. But he passed in May of this year.
I understand. It's amazing. The real amazing thing about my nephew was I hadn't seen him in 40 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we had not been in contact, you know, which is, a part of the story. If you read the story, you understand that we were not a very close-knit, and that's why I say it's about relationships.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't seen him in over 40 years when he showed up, and he wanted to meet with his brother, which I did see a little more regularly than that. So he was driving up to meet his brother when I was reading the story to him. And that's when he made the decision that it should be published.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. That's absolutely. You also have publications in poetry, which I also like. Now, poetry is quite an intellectual understanding. And you mentioned it a few minutes ago. Oh, yeah, okay. I love roses, you know, violets are blue, and that's about as far as they go. But because of that undertaking, what motivated you in this direction?
Well, attending Coppin mainly, that's the main, because I did a lot at Towson also, but I wasn't as motivated, and the real motivation came from Langston Hughes, because Langston Hughes wrote a five-liner, I forget what you call it right now, and I know what you call it, but that five-liner really, really just stuck with me. I just loved it, and I just kept repeating it, and I even performed it on stage. I performed it on we used to have a TV show called it was like a magazine show. And I did it there, and I did Phenomenal Woman by Maya Angelou, or Angelou, however you like to say that. And those two poems, I'm like, well, now I'm getting all this respect for reciting poetry. Why can't I write poetry?
Okay.
That's the thing that spurred me on. And I just went on, and I just started writing. And the main thing for me was to make sure that just because you have truth, that's what poetry is, telling truth, you don't have to make it rhyme. As such
right.
thing as rhyming, as rhyming, and then there's poetry. So I
prose.
Just wanted
it's
to write.
It's called prose when you tell a story, but it doesn't necessarily rhyme. So that's a prose.
Right, exactly. It's prose.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So that's what I'm just trying all that out at Coppin, and it seemed like everything I tried out while I was there was working for me.
Oh, good.
So I was, Oh, I never felt so at home as I did at Coppin in my life. Coppin was great to me. I'm telling you, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. So that's my inspiration. That's where how it came. And that's my favorite poet is Langston Hughes and Maya Angelou.
Okay, fine. I had their works as well. And I recited Phenomenal Woman at my girlfriend's birthday. And I think she got in tears, you know, because it's so beautiful when you recite it correctly. Very good.
Right.
Now, that almost is on the other side of my question if somebody's listening. as what kind of educational preparedness that you need. Now, you went there, and you got that motivation, so I guess the motivation is the preparedness. But what kind of preparedness did you also have to have before publishing anything like poetry?
Well, you don't, I didn't need a lot. I mean, you know, you just find a publishing company that publishes poems, and
what do you
submit
look for? Because
your...
I've heard a lot of people being scammed, you know. They said, well, you send out $50, $100, and we'll get
oh,
you.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
That's what I'm asking.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but no, not a dime, not a penny.
Okay. Yep.
Nothing. Right. You just submit your poetry, and if they like it, they will publish it. Now, here's where they make their money. They'll sell you the books that your poems are in. Now, you don't have to buy the book. That's up to you. But your poem is in there. You want to see your poem. You want to see your name in print. Most likely, you're going to buy the book. And
well,
that's the way they make their money.
One poetry piece in somebody else's book, a collaboration? You're talking about a collaboration book with yours just being one of the poems in it? Okay.
Right. Right, right. Well, you can submit as many as you want. I just submit one at a time. But you can submit as many as you like. And they would make all kinds of books. Well, they even put one on to music, you know, some kind of tape and all that stuff. But the point is that you're being published. You're writing to a publishing corporation. Yeah. So you write to a publishing company. They like your work, they publish it. They don't like your work, they send it back to you and tell you what they think you need to do.
Oh, okay.
I think that's a pretty good deal for no money.
I understand what you're saying, but I also am an editor of books for people who write, and I edit my girlfriend's book after her third draft, and it had like 88 errors in it.
Good grief.
So, I don't know if you are at liberty or want to take that responsibility. Just tell us what experience of good publishers that you've been associated with.
I'm sorry, that broke up. I didn't get the question.
What publishers would you mind saying might be a good publisher for someone who wants to publish either poems or something that they have written? Are you at liberty to say that, or... they should just go ahead and investigate it themselves?
Well, that would be my first suggestion, that they investigate themselves and find someone that they can communicate with, that speaks their language, because everybody doesn't talk to you in the same way, and you don't be received in the same way that you think you're being received often. So you want to find somebody that you can really communicate with. And so that would be my first suggestion. But like I said, my second would be Poetry One, because it doesn't cost you anything, and they will get back to you, good or bad or indifferent.
Okay, and just poetry. You only accept poetry.
I don't know that.
Okay.
I don't know that.
Okay.
I just know that that's all I send to them is poems. Yeah,
okay.
The publisher for my novella is really not a novel because I cut it down to two short stories. That's Ex Libre. That's a different company altogether.
Okay. All right, we'll mention these again at the very end of the show for me. I think we ran into the same situation we were talking about earlier, that if you write a book of poetry, what you explained to us, that sometimes you should start with writing about those things that are in particular to you, that you have experienced in your life. Do you believe that theory fully?
Yeah,
that
to a degree.
Just write about what you... Oh, okay.
To a degree. I mean, everybody's different. Like, while I was in my writing classes, I found some guys that could really... I mean, they could write, and they were writing about space. Now, how many of us are really into knowing anything about space? They wrote about the antiquities of Africa. We don't really know what goes on back there. These guys were really deep. And I'm telling you, you don't have to know exactly everything. You just need to know how to research. You right. have to be able to, yeah, you have to be able to research and bring up these kinds of things that you want to write about. Because this guy that wrote about being out in space and all the different planets that he landed on and all that sort of stuff, he ain't been nowhere but right at topping. The exactly. same with the guy that wrote about the antiquities in Africa. Oh, and another one of my favorite authors who wrote about religion way back in the day in Africa and how the colonials came and made them become Christians and all that stuff. He wasn't there. You know, he had to research and find out that stuff. That's
we
the thing you have
know,
to do.
Right, that you need to research, but you can write. So that theory is debunked, that you can write about other things, but your point here is that you should research. Because the moment you write something that is not true, as long as it's fiction, it's okay. I guess
right,
you can use
right.
your imagination. So that's a good point to make, and I'm sure our audience heard that it's good on your first try to write about something that you know. But if you have extensive knowledge or research, you can write about other things. Let's take a look at The Matrix. It took a long time for her to get her money, but that was something that she probably didn't know too much about it, because she wrote that, you know, many, many years before the technology became as out of space as it is now.
Exactly.
That was a great book that she wrote, and they stole it, of course. But that's another topic. And I had that, too, on copyright. I had that on the show. It's in my archive.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's another thing, too, Irene, that I'm sure that the audience needs to know, just like you did. You know, people would take your word sometimes and just call it their own, and that's not good.
Yes. No, you have to worry about that.
Exactly. Based on just what we just finished talking about, what is usually the main theme of the poems that you write?
The main theme of most of my poetry, again, is relationship. It's all about relationships and just trying to get along, be able to reach out to people, have people know that you are reachable, that kind of thing.
Is that just family? Is it family, friends?
No. That's for everybody.
That's for everybody.
My poetry for me, the poetry, like I said, has to be honest. That's what makes poetry. You got to be honest. You got to be true. Once you're honest and true with what you're trying to put across, it's going to touch whoever it needs to touch.
Great.
I mean, that's the way I see it. Okay. Yeah. But one of my favorite authors is that John Brown that did the Illuminati's and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that stuff. He doesn't know any of that stuff. He's making it up as he goes, but he does it so well.
Okay.
You know? It's great. So, no, I'm sorry, still back on that question about do you need to know. No, you don't need, you just need to know what you need to know how to write.
Right, because everybody has a recipe for potato salad, and everybody's potato salad does not taste the same. So we can
right.
use that as an analogy, you know.
Yes, you can. I'm glad, because I just had some last night.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Okay.
But it's all different.
Okay, Irene. Also, would you say that in your poetry, people can write poetry? Can most people just go ahead and write poetry, or what? What should they do when they talk about poetry? We talked about the story. What about poetry?
They should just write what they feel and think honestly and truthfully, if they can. sometimes you can't be so truthful, but that to me is what poetry is. If you can't be truthful, don't write poetry. Write something else, some prose. But if you want to write poetry, just be truthful.
Okay,
and remember,
great.
It's not a rhyme. You don't have to rhyme.
Okay. Excellent. Like you said, roses are red, violets are blue. I like Hennessy. What about you? You know, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you told us what poets inspired you. You said Langston Hughes and Maya Angelou. When the new poets are coming out today, some people say rappers are poets. So what would you say about the new wave of poetry based on putting it, because all poetry starts and then it goes into songs. Everything you write, eventually somebody puts it in a song. So what do you think about the new wave poetry or new wave of expressing people's self today? Do you have any comment on that?
Well, no, I'm happy for them because to me, it appears to me that they're simply making history. They're trying to convey to whoever's listening their perception of the history that they have lived or that they have learned about. And that's always good. That reminds me of the old way back in the day when they didn't even know how to write. That's how you passed on the history of your community or whatever was going on in your life. And that's the way I see these new poets. Because sometimes when I'm listening to them, I'm thinking, they're in the wrong genre. They should be in prose because they got these long stories now. These are stories, they're not poems, you know. But that's the way, you know, things change as time goes on, and that's where we are today with most of the young folks. That's what they like. It works for them. It's fine with me.
Okay, so I know what you're saying. Everybody has their age of discovery, age of invention, and like you said, age of saying we're going forward. So the contemporary artists are doing that, and they're doing it in a way, like you said, the stories that they know about. The same things are happening in the church, which I thought would never happen. They're singing these songs that almost remind you of being in a nightclub. But in order to probably get to the people that you're trying to reach, that's what they probably had to do in the music as well as in church.
Yeah, I saw them twerking in church the other
day. Oh, yeah, well, I saw that, but, you know, that's just, I don't know. I don't know what that is. That's another, like you may say, that's another show.
Yes, it is.
Okay, Irene, I'm
going to
do one more question. After this question, we're going to take a break. I saw it on, never mind.
Why?
Do you have to be in a particular place, Irene, sometimes, or have a particular mindset to write?
Maybe,
like an artist. I don't have to be totally quiet, but it has to be a very serene surrounding in order for me to create.
No, it doesn't have to be anything for me but the space and time and the materials. As long as I got the materials, I can write. That's the first thing we learned at Towson. If you're going to be a writer, you always have to have a pen with you.
Right.
Yeah. You have your pen, you have your paper, your little notes, and you make all kinds of little notes. Sometimes you'll just have thousands and thousands of little notes that don't seem to have any correlation whatsoever. But then when you're ready to write, to put it together, you got it. You can just look through your notes.
That's true, because with artists, you should always have a pencil and a pad.
You never know
what you're going to see something, you're going to sketch. But the cute thing of being an artist, so I'll be with friends, Irene, and I said, oh, look at that. That is, and I'll give her an explanation or a statement. Isn't that wonderful? They say, Andy, I don't see that. I said, okay. So what we're going to do now, Irene, I'm going to take no less than a minute break so we can get a glass of water, and we'll be right back, okay?
Fine.
Let's get loose.
District.
Yeah. That.
What up, y'all? Just came to your city to say what's up.
What up?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Show me love.
Show me love.
Hey. Hop off the plane to a new show.
What up?
And all the shorties, they be waiting on me. Thugs packing they pistols. But ain't nobody aiming on me. Got a pocket full of fresh dough. So you know I gotta bake it, homie.
Bake it for me.
And I'm thankful. Get whatever you want.
Hi, and welcome back. This is Andale Banks, your host of Wish Upon a Star. Thanks for listening. And we're broadcasting on BBSRadio.com Station 2. You can also listen to all of our other previous broadcasts in the archive link on Wish Upon a Star Station 2. Again, we welcome comments and suggestions at email address musicradio34@gmail.com. We're going to bring back our guest, Miss Irene High, who is an author and publisher of poetry and books. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be back.
Okay, Irene, if you could travel any place in the world, and let's say spend some time writing, where would that be?
Well, I have traveled extensively, and okay.
Tell us about it.
I really liked the Vatican City when I went to see the Sistine Chapel. That was very inspirational, watching Leonardo da Vinci's actual work and just standing there, just looking at it. I felt like I could do anything aesthetically that I wanted. It's just so inspiring. So inspiring. But that was the most inspirational as far as my art is concerned. But I really like having fun, too. And the most fun place for me was a little beach called Oostende in Belgium. And also, I like Rio de Janeiro because, believe it or not, at 60-plus years of age, I was hang gliding down there in South America. Oh. It was a beautiful, fun time. So I just like traveling. I just go wherever I want to go. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely fantastic. Have you written anything in or about these places yet, or do you have a piece of poetry that you can recite for us at this particular time?
Well, I have poetry I can recite, but it's not about my travels.
Oh,
not
okay.
About traveling.
Well, would you be so kind to grace us with one of your poetic works?
Certainly, I'd be happy to. I would like to read the one. This is okay. Let me do the first one I ever published. Okay, I can't say that I ever wrote because I've been writing a long, long time. But
right,
this is the first one I ever got published. Okay, it's falling in the floor. Okay, here we go. It's called, What is More Precious Than Silver or Gold? I'm sorry. I punched the phone by mistake. Are you ready?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Each God-given breath inhaled, then exhaled, is more precious than silver or gold. You must believe in the value you hold because you are more precious than silver and gold. Value is in the giving of yourself, no matter your wealth. It is an appreciation of youth growing old, which is more precious than silver and gold. You will find it not in illegal drugs, but deep in your soul, which by now you know is more precious than silver or gold. $1 million for each year you've been here couldn't equal the desire I had for you to function without illegal addictive drugs and to come to the family with appreciative hugs. Words of wisdom, if the truth be told, are more precious than silver or gold. Are you there?
Yeah, very good. I was listening and I was absorbing the meaning
when I listen to something, I listen to what you're saying as well as to absorb it in a context of what does it mean.
Yes.
And I definitely, what you're speaking about is that, first of all, these are inanimate objects and they're metals. So the preciousness of a human being is more precious than, you know, silver and gold.
Correct.
You've done a lot in television program. I'm just going to interject this so that our audience would know some of the extensivity that you do have in the art. Can you just tell us about some of the parts that you've played, like you've played in The Wire, The West Wing? Can you name some more of those for us?
Oh, yeah, but the thing of it is, let's see, most of the work I did on the really popular shows was simple background work. I was a featured background artist, so I didn't, like, have lines and stuff like that. The ones that I had lines on and things were mostly industrial. That's what they're called when they're mainly, like, for industry. And I would get, like, places in, with lines and stuff like that for those kinds of things. But for some of the movies and commercials and things, I didn't really have lines. I was just in there. So
all right, but
the
important thing is that you were there and you were in there. Now, how did that happen? So that's even something, because I understand some people who are stand-ins, or they get hundreds of dollars. I know my sister-in-law did. She got a hook on, and all she had to do was walk from one end of the lot to the next, and I think she got a couple hundred dollars. So give us an idea of some other things. How did you actually get into all of these things, like the plays venue? How did that happen?
Like the what?
Plays.
The plays?
You were in the plays and the characters that you played in some of the plays.
Yeah. Oh, I loved Take a Giant Step. I had a good part in Take a Giant Step, lots of lines. I had a good part in several different plays, but then I started getting older and not trusting my memory. Didn't want to leave anybody on stage and miss their cues. So I stopped doing plays and decided to do film. Because in film, they can, you know, feed you the line or give you some teleprompter or whatever you need to get you to say your line like you need it to be said. So that's why I changed from stage to film or video, whichever way you like. But I did lots of commercials and still doing them. In fact, I just worked Sunday, this past Sunday. It was a very nice job, really good fun. Because nowadays, though, they make you sign a non-disclosure where you're not supposed to give out any information about the project.
Right.
So that's a lot of reason why I can't say too much. But some of the old films that have already come out, like Jamesy Boy, that was with Ving Rhames. I love being on that, even though you don't see me till the very end. But as a part of the end, it's like I bring the film full circle, and I don't have a word. I don't have a line, but I'm in there, you know? And it was very good. That was. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I think that's true, but that's why I was saying. How did you, knew how to get there to be in it. That's what I'm saying. How does somebody,
okay.
I guess you might call it worm their way in to be in
right.
that position?
Well, the thing is just like we said in the beginning, when you're looking for somebody to publish, you got to look for somebody that's going to represent you and push you into those jobs when those jobs come up. That's called an agent.
Okay, and you get the agent factor. Okay.
Yeah, you get yourself an agent, and the agent will call you and let you know where such and such a job is.
Good.
Then you go and you audition, and if you win the audition, so to speak, I mean, you know, it's not really like a win or lose thing, but that's the best way to explain it. You go there, you get the audition down, you get hired, and there you go. You keep doing that every time you hear something come up.
Excellent. I know family members of mine got a hold of the Steve Harvey auditions. They went down there, Family Feud,
and they won the first round of interview. I guess you might call it, or you know, casting interview.
Yeah.
And they don't know what's going to happen, but they did win to be
good,
a possible cast contestants on the show. So you're absolutely right. That's the way that you do that. I was an actor, well, I still am, with my girlfriend does plays. But you know what I found out, Irene? That
what?
In acting, if you do get a speaking part, I had all speaking parts. And I noticed at the rehearsals that a lot of the people, I played a wife, so it was a wife and a husband. The guy never knew his words, none. And at the time of the show, do you know I had to learn his six acts and mine as well?
Right. Yeah, whenever you get a script, you got to learn everything in your scene.
That's the first time I had been really angry about something like that. Because we were on the stage, and he wasn't no such thing as cues for him. He just said what he wanted to do. So at least 10 minutes of the play wasn't even done because I caught on the fact.
See?
Good thing I learned his part and my part, because other than that,
right.
You know, he could have ruined me.
You would have been lost.
Because I would have been totally lost if I hadn't did that.
Right.
Again, we're
going
to go back to something. That's right. And I know. So people have to be really cognizant of that if anybody wants to go into these fields. Don't think it's all sugar, ice, and cream. It's not. There's a lot of things
Definitely. That
you yourself have to be dedicated to.
That's right. You have to really want to work.
That's right. Work and work hard. And also in your travels, I just always like to ask this question. Because I know, like you said, when you went through and saw the chapel and all of that, I would love to see all that. But in poetry, what person, I would say, or poet, you most would like to meet if you haven't already had the opportunity? And why would you have wanted to meet that person?
Oh, I would like to meet Langston Hughes. Even though I know he's long dead, but I just like, because like right now I have a friend, his name is Lawrence Hurst, and he's an excellent artist. And I have watched him work, and I watch how creative he is in his thoughts. And then he puts his thoughts on canvas or paper or whatever, because, you know, that's just where he is and where he comes from. And I find that so interesting to see how creativity actually works in a person's mind and how they transfer it out of their minds for us to see. I just love that. So that would
Thank
be
you,
Langston Hughes. Yeah, I would love to see, to meet him, because he was everything. He was a writer. He was a poet. He was an actor. He was an activist. He was everything. I just think I would love to meet and talk with him for a little while.
Well, is there anyone else that possibly you know about that's living now? So we can get some direction maybe our audience needs to start not only reading our well-known, because I have the list. You can go online and get that too, top 100 African-American poets and writers. What about somebody who's alive that you might want to meet?
Oh, I don't know who that would be.
Okay.
I would love to meet him if he's out there. If they're out there, I like meeting people. It really doesn't matter to me. I love meeting people. So I would just like say, whoever's out there that's doing things that's in a positive vein, I'm ready to meet you.
Oh, excellent.
I'd love to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know you don't want to probably answer this, but I'm asking anyway. Just like most people always ask, what's your favorite this, what's your favorite that, and you love all your children. So which of your poems is your favorite?
Oh,
you
let me read you my favorite.
For it. Okay.
I'm sorry, what was the last thing you just said?
No, I was saying ahead. Yeah, you just go ahead, because I was saying a lot of people always ask you, but you like all of your children. no matter what poem.
Oh,
you like.
I like them all. Right. I like them all, but this one is my favorite. Okay.
Okay.
It's called simply called Man, M-A-N. Okay. Wait a minute. Oh, can't get my glasses on. Sorry, are you there? I dropped the phone.
Take your time.
I'm ready. Okay. Man, some say a snow-capped mountain or a lush green valley, and still there are others who say there is no sight more beautiful than that of flowing water, be it a river, ocean, or sea. But I say the most beautiful sight for me is that of a man working honestly. Be it climbing a mountain or scaling a tall building, it may be the pulling of a plow or mowing grass, or even rowing a boat or hoisting a sail. No matter the task, the most beautiful sight to me is that of a man working honestly. Lest I have seen snow-capped mountains, seen vistas of lush green valleys, and seen vast waves of water, yet still, for me, the most beautiful sight to see is that of a man working honestly. Then, to hear a man singing, or to see a man dance with a sense of accomplishment, and joy in the knowledge of a job well done, gives me cause to repeat, there is no sight more beautiful than that of a man working honestly.
Excellent. Beautiful. Beautiful. All those kind of things need to be put on cards and posters, you know, and that sort of thing, so that our young people can like, again, as I say, honestly, to absorb what you're writing. You're engaged in a whole lot of creative writing. You do portraits, you do prose, and you've written a novella. Is there anything else in the writing field arena or whatever that you would like to do? Or have you did most of it? Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm not sure I heard that. Is there anything
else you would like to write about? Let's say, would you like to do a play? Write a play.
Oh, no.
Write a song.
No, thank you.
Okay. So those types of other writings don't necessarily interest you. To write a play. Well, you could make your novella into a play, probably, could you?
Right. Right. I would have to get somebody else to write the screenplay because I made the attempt and that's just not where my head is. I can't deal with that.
Okay, fine.
Can't do that. Mm-mm. That's for somebody who writes screenplays. They can take my novella, we make a deal, and they can write the screenplay. But I'm not trying to write it myself. I did try, man. I did give it a good effort. But I'm not, that's not my bag. I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know we...
I got this down.
Yeah, because you want to stick to what you can do the most of. So if you start getting into other venues, it does take more time because you got to do the same thing all over again, research. Right. And then research. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to emphasize this again and about publishing. You self-published, and that's the main quote I want to make sure we get across it. You self-published your work of poetry and your book. So give us your thoughts and advice on self-publishing as to what to do first or something step-by-step, the most important step-by-step process of self-publishing. Because I have a book that I want to publish. It's close to 200 pages, but it's an art book. So
cool.
Can you give us some general idea about, you know, you never know where to start. Start if we're going to self-publish?
Right. The first thing you want to do is get your ISBN number, your copyright. You want to get a copyright and ISBN and all of that. That's, it's a lot more simple now
than it was when I got mine.
Okay.
But you can do that yourself. Once you get your copyright number with the ISBN and all that, then you find a printer or, you know, or a publishing company and submit it. Tell them how you want it, what you want, what colors are and all that stuff. And you're done. Then they're going to tell you how much it's going to cost to give you however many you want to sell at first.
Just what about cover design?
Yeah, you can do that. You do that once you got your publisher. They can help you if you need help, but most likely you know what you want your book to look like already.
Is there any, I would say, flexible cost range that you can mention? And what does it reflect? Does it reflect how many pages you have? Is it the type of script or type? Speaking
right.
of cost,
depending
now.
On which company you pick, they send you all that information.
Okay.
They will send you, when you decide, once you've gotten your copyright, don't send them anything before you get your copyright. That's the most important thing. Because like you stated earlier, they can take your stuff and claim it for themselves. But once
so
you
your
put
copyright
your copyright
should
on
be it, really first, okay?
Right. That's the most important. Because you don't want them, anybody to just take your work and claim it. And that happens, believe me. So the thing to do, get your copyright. Let me see now if I remember how I first got my copyright. I don't know if I quite remember
you
that.
You can go online to the copyright office. And I have it also on my radio broadcast, early shows. But
okay.
The easiest way is just to go online to the main copy, and you can do it right online. I think it's $60
right.
to actually. Only thing it says you got to at least have 4 or 5 paragraphs of anything or something
right.
to start getting your copyright.
You.
So you're yeah.
So that's that. Once you got that. Then you can, well, while you're waiting for that even, you can find your publisher.
Okay.
Find your publisher or a printer office, you know, pretty much the same thing. Hopefully you've gotten it, God, I can't think of the word now. The guys that come in and examine it and correct out all those mistakes and errors.
Oh, an editor, a proofreader.
Editor, yeah.
Yeah,
proofreader
and an editor. Well, that's going to run into my next question. Like I said, my girlfriend, when she wrote her book was about finance, so I guess that's kind of involved, and they had a lot of errors in it. But some indie books are faulted for that, I read, for not being very professional due to grammatical errors, continuity in reading, and typos. What steps did you take to ensure you published a quality product?
I got my editor. I got an editor. I hired an editor to look it over. He wasn't reasonable. He only found like a couple of pages that needed some correction. He showed me where I needed to make the correction, and I made the corrections, and that was that.
But the corrector didn't interfere into your actual story or what you were trying to say.
No. That's not a good editor. A good editor is not going to change your story. They're simply going to tell you where your mistakes are.
Oh, right. And that's the only thing they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to change everything to make it
right.
like it's
no.
their work. Okay.
Exactly.
That's a good point now. That's a very good point because
okay.
I'm sure a lot of
okay.
people wouldn't have known that. Now, we're getting closer to the end of the show, so I want to know also, do you have any current or future projects in the making? And if so, what are they?
Okay, like I said, I'm working on a couple of films, and I can't talk about them because I haven't signed the Non-Disclosure Act, but you will see me in this coming up season. I did season 1, 2, 3, skip 4, and I'm now in season 5 of House of Cards, so you can see me on that. And then I'm coming up on Awe, Shock and Awe, which is another story. And that's all I can say about that. Can't say okay. anymore because then I'll be, you know, saying too much.
Okay, I'm not going to be like the late night talk shows then. If we want a late night talk show, I said, we want a late night talk show, I'd try to drill it out of you. Just tell us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've been picking me.
Right.
No, can't tell you. But it's fun.
House
can
of
tell
Cards,
you that.
And just look out for other things. Because I told you, we're going to repeat that again, your website and everything. Other thing, too, Ari, what advice do you have for aspiring authors out there? Who may be listening. I don't know what advice that would be, but just yeah.
Right. If you're an aspiring author, just write. That's the only really good advice is just to write. Keep writing. Doesn't have to make sense. Just write. And then when the time comes, like you said, you'll have all these different notes around and you can make it make sense.
And then they'll come together.
Yeah.
It's the same thing like practice.
Right. Exactly. Just do it. Or as I used to work in, nobody remembers, Governor Schaefer a long time ago. I used to work in his office and, you know, I did my internship there. And he would just go around saying, just do it.
Yep.
That was so good. That's it. Just do it. It don't have to make sense to anybody else but you.
What would you say is your, do you have a motto about life or, you know, because you've done so many things. So what would be a mantra or motto or something that you would say that you go by to keep you going? For all the
just
things that
do
you
it.
Have done.
That's it, but I'm taking it. Just do it.
Just do it. Okay. Yep. Irene, give us a rundown of everything that you have out there. Give us a rundown of your Twitter, your Facebook, your book, your poetry, and where we can actually obtain all of the information about your publications and poetry. You can take as long as you want to and just outline it, where we can get it, where we can go and look it up, like your website and all of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My website is, It's my name. Hold on, let me see. It's my name at, wait a minute, I don't know if there's an at in there or not. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Is it on here? I don't think it's on here. Oh, yes, it is. Website, Irene High, that's IreneHeigh, as one word, dot YolaSite, that's YolaSite .com. Do I need to repeat that?
Yes.
IreneHeigh.YolaSite.com.
Okay, good. Again, the name of your publication and where we can get that.
Okay, the name of my book is Sisters, Carrie Lou and Me, and it's published by Ex Libre. The book number is 103939.
Repeat that again, please.
Okay. Published by XLIBRIS. Ex Libre. Book number 103939.
Okay, anything else? that we should be looking for, or actually can the poetry, can we get that anywhere?
Yeah, well, from Poetry One, all you have to do is when you go to Google, type in Poetry One, because I don't remember their address, and it will come up. Mm-hmm. Poetry One is the name of the publishing company that published all the poems. They have a collection, and my poem is in the collection. My poem is in one they call A Surrender to the Moon, and another one they call The International Who's Who in Poetry, and a couple of other ones that I don't have right here. They're downstairs in my library. But several books of poetry, because I guess there's about 7, 8, 9, 10 poems in there, and each one is in a different book or on the tape for the music. So,
all right. That is absolutely excellent. So what I'm getting ready to do is to sign off, Irene. Again, I want to say thank you so much for your support. The show was so excellent, I didn't even take another break. So we're going to sign off now. I want to say thank you, and I'm going to call you back once I end the show again to say thank you so much, okay? We're going to take a short break, ladies and gentlemen, and then I'm going to come back and sign off with Wish Upon a Star. Thanks again, Irene.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Oh, it was such a fantastic show with Irene High that I just didn't even take another break. I hope you got all that information. If not, you can go back to the iCloud and look it up. Again, I'm Andell Banks, your host of Wish Upon a Star. Thanks for listening to the broadcast. And we're broadcasting on bbsradio.com, Station 2. You can listen to all of our previous broadcasts in the archive link on Wish Upon a Star, Station 2. Again, if you have comments or suggestions, or if you have someone who wants to be a guest on the show, please give us an email at musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, this is Andell, your host, and Denise Banks, our coordinator, saying, keep reaching for the stars. Thank you, and have a blessed evening.